And we're on number three today, the third commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. I've got on the screen here some famous trademarks. I was thinking about Janice. I was like, I know one of these Janice will know. But I'm sure you probably know what some of these are. You guys recognize them?
Yep.
Yeah, some of them pretty famous in the news, right? So, MasterCard, WWF, not the wrestling, but World Wildlife Fund. Anybody know what this is? Not Korean Air, right?
Pepsi.
Looks a little bit like Korean Air. Pepsi, right? Not a whole lot of Pepsi in Hong Kong, by the way. It's not easy to find. Twitter, of course you know. Anybody know what this one is?
Unilever.
Maybe. Turn those off, yeah. Unilever, right? Famous company. So trademarks. What is a trademark, right? Trademark is something that when you see that certain symbol or those words, that they are telling you something about what the company is like, right? Trademark infringement is a pretty big thing. That's when another company takes the name or likeness of usually a famous company and uses it for themselves. I remember traveling to a country one time, and I remember thinking, wow, this is wonderful. I just found a Burger King. And I went inside, I was like, well, this seems not really like Burger King. It said Burger King, but it wasn't really Burger King. So a trademark says, we represent this name. We represent this name, or it says certain characteristics, qualities, or ideas encompassed in these names are found here, right? But in fact, some of them are fakes, and they don't really represent or belong to that name or symbol. Now look on the screen here.
Oh my goodness.
Some of these would be misrepresentations. This looks real, right? That's Russian, by the way. But Subday or Starbucks? That's in Iran, I believe. Yeah, do you like that? That's pretty good, huh? That's pretty big trademark infringement, right? This was my favorite. Donkey Donuts. I don't think those probably taste very well, do they? My Donald, right? So, this is just really, like, not even close, right?
Michael Alone? Is it between McDonald's?
Well, that's just a little bit of what you understand when someone breaks a trademark. Because what do you see? You say, okay, that's supposed to be McDonald's, but we know the qualities of that McDonald's are not there. So what, they're lying. They're saying, we have these qualities and these ingredients, these standards, but we really don't, right? Well, what comes to our mind when we see the word God? Better yet, for those of us as a Christian church, what comes to our mind when we see the words Jesus Christ? When someone takes the name of Jesus onto themselves or uses the name of Jesus, what qualities or attributes should be displayed with that name? It's possible that as Christians, or I should say, is it possible that as Christians, we might be a little bit like this. We say we have the name, but maybe we're really conveying something different. Let's pray and ask God to help us try to understand this third commandment. Lord, you know this is not easy, and yet this is your word. It's like really, really serious. I don't in any way want to try to make your word sound like what I think it should mean. So I'm asking for help, because we really want to know what it is you're trying to say in the third commandment. So guide us in your truth. Teach us that we might not take your name in vain. We pray in Jesus' name. That name. Amen. I use this trademark illustration. I know it's not a perfect illustration, but to try to help us understand the third commandment a little bit. If you have a Bible, it'll be on your screen, but Exodus chapter 20, we're in verse 7. Simple verse. You've heard this your whole life. Those of us who are a little bit older probably grew up with understanding this verse in a little bit different light. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Taking the name of the Lord in vain. So we want to try to understand what this means. So number one, what does this commandment mean? I know the Hebrew literally says this. We are not to take up or lift up. The word is NASA or NASA. It has nothing to do with the space agency. No, I wondered to take up or lift up if they got it from there, but Hebrew friend of mine, Jewish friend of mine said, no, you're wrong. But we are not to take up or lift up.
That's not me.
The name of the Lord, Yahweh, in vain. Falsehood, vanity, uselessness. The name of the Lord. Note first that the Lord does not say, you shall not take the name of the Lord. He just says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So we are to take the name of the Lord. We call ourselves Christians. We'll talk about that in a moment. So we are to mention the Lord's name. We don't go all the way far down the other.
Check your connection.
I don't think it's me.
Yeah.
Make sure your thing is screwed in.
Yeah, I'm good.
Should it be this?
Maybe something else. Anyway, I'll keep going. Think it is me? God's name here relates to his attributes, his qualities, who he is. So maybe your name is a little bit like that. Maybe your parents named you something. I think in America, we just kind of name people names that we like. They don't generally have meanings. Shannon is a girl's name mostly. It's Irish city, and it means wisdom. I don't think that's like emphatic of who I am. Maybe your name, though, in Chinese, your parents gave you that name, like, and it has more meaning for you. Maybe it's the qualities they hope that you would have, or maybe that you do have. But names are important. They convey meaning, qualities. So God's name, it's a little bit like his trademark. When we see the name of God, we should be thinking of his qualities, his attributes. So, the third commandment, in some ways, I think what I took away from studying this is, do not take the Lord lightly. Do not take the Lord lightly. I think this commandment is a prohibition to not take God as if he's just, he's not that big of a deal. We should take him seriously. It doesn't mean we're serious all the time, but we should take God seriously. I think positively, this commandment is a call to worship God and live for him in a way that is in line with his attributes. Let me say that again. It's a call to worship God and live for him in a way that is in line with his attributes. We'll get more to that. So, the first commandment, you remember, you shall have no other gods before me, is really to say, worship the right God. Now, even me saying worshiping the right God is a little off because there are no other gods. There's only one, and it's him. Well, the second commandment, if the first commandment is worship the right God, the second commandment is worship God rightly. We should not worship God through an image or through anything else by way we should come to God through that. The third commandment, I think he's saying worship God sincerely. Worship God sincerely. Let me give you a few paraphrases from some other is everything off except my?
Yes, okay. Everything is off.
Just put it right there. A few paraphrases from some other places. Faith Life Study Bible. Faith Life Study Bible said this. I thought it was good. God takes offense to any affiliation or association with him that denigrates his character or reputation. That denigrates his character or reputation. You see that? Affiliation with God. That's having to do with our lives. The Christian Standard Bible says this, that when we take God's name in vain, it amounts to lying about who God is. Now, this is my summary. God commands that those who claim him as their God live in a way that reflects his attributes, taking on his name and not taking him in vain. I think we'll see a little bit more accurately what that means as we look at some examples. So number one, I think this is what it means. Let's look at how Israel broke this command. How did Israel break this commandment? The Jews, chosen people of God, right? Of all the nations, said, "This is going to be my priestly people." The Jews were a kingdom of priests who were to display his glory amongst all of the nations. Yet, they did not live in a way, mostly, that honored the Lord. So I want to turn to one Old Testament passage. I had a whole list of Old Testament passages, but I think we'll just look at one in Ezekiel. Now we have to. I'm just going to read this very carefully so that we understand and help see kind of the magnitude of how God is concerned about his name. And he's concerned when we don't have concern for his name. Okay? The word of the Lord came to me, Ezekiel, son of man. When the house of Israel lived in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their ways before me were like the uncleanness of a woman in her menstrual impurity. So I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood that they had shed in the land, for the idols with which they had defiled it. Shedding of blood, idolatry, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Right? I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through the countries. In accordance with their ways and their deeds, I judged them. But when they came to the nations, wherever they came, they profaned my holy name, in that people said of them, these are the people of the Lord? And yet, they had to go out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, with which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations to which they came. Therefore, says the house of Israel, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came, I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned among them, and the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. So, that says a lot. But what I want you to see is that he says, I can't see it there very clearly. My glasses are a little bit different. These are the people of the Lord. These are the people of the Lord. Now, of the Lord, Yahweh, capital L-O-R-D. These are the people of Yahweh, and yet they have profaned the name of Yahweh. God does not take that lightly. Takes it very seriously. They profaned his name with idolatry and bloodshed, and so he punished them to defend his own reputation amongst the nations. If you will kind of accept this illustration, though it's imperfect, in a way, God franchised out his trademark to them, his name, to use as long as they did things according to his standards and reflected his qualities. But they took his name and they made it a cheap product. They took his name in vain and made it worthless. Said, we are the people of the Lord. And then people were like, you're the people of the Lord? It's like someone taking a Dan Ryan's franchise and then starting to sell 7-Eleven fish balls in it. Just doesn't really work. So that's what the Jews did. Number three, let's just ask some questions, hard questions. How might we break this commandment? How might we break this commandment? Any way that we depreciate or devalue the Almighty God of heaven, whether that's before other people or even in our own hearts, we're breaking the third commandment. So I think there's two areas I would focus on, literally with our mouths and figuratively in our hearts. Now, most people traditionally have taken this commandment to mean, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain, to as a prohibition against God's using God's name in cursing or in some kind of careless manner. Now, obviously, when anyone uses the name of God as just a flippant byword, is either ignorant of its misuse, meaning they just don't have any idea what they're doing, or they have a very low view of God. So, I don't want to skip over, but I want to say this very clearly. OMG, or saying, oh my God, when we stump our toe, or when we're surprised at a news story, or when we're upset about something, is really something as people who are supposed to revere God as the supreme creator of utmost worth and value is really something that we should not do. I don't think it's really consistent with a reverence for God. Or saying, God, or oh my God, or Jesus Christ. or Jesus H. Christ, whatever that might mean, or God damn, are all, I think, inappropriate according to the third commandment. So if we just ask ourselves this question, does it honor God to use his name in that way? So, I know when I was growing up, I'm 51, I remember a time when a movie would be a shocking movie if it said GD one time. Well, now, you know, it's kind of like, it doesn't shock people anymore to take God's name in vain or to say, God damn it. It's once and then now twice and then now many times, and we really aren't even turned off by it. In fact, we have to ask ourselves, have I become numb to the misuse of God's name in such a way? Have I just simply become numb to it? Does it even bother me? Just something to think about. So, to reverence God is to hold him in high esteem. So we wouldn't use his word in such a way. I used to explain to my students in the mainland, who all the time I was teaching English to them, and they were always saying, oh my God, oh my God. And I just couldn't, I had to say something. So I would try to give them a little lecture. And forgive the analogy, but I think it brings the point home. I said, what would you think if I stubbed my toe and I said, oh, Mao Zedong? They said, oh no, that would not be good. That would not be very respectful. But that's the point, isn't it? That's the point. God? Yeah. So I think one way we can take God's name in vain with our mouths is to profane his name by using it as just a byword. Another way, this is a little strange, but another way that I thought of coming from my own background is that we can sometimes profane God's name, not really profane God's name, but misuse it in what I call preacher talk. Using God's name in a way that's good, but is really not sincere, or maybe just a way to seem religious. So I come from a special place, okay? I come from like the holy city in America, holy area in America, where everybody loves Jesus and everybody goes to church. If you're a football coach and you don't attend a church, you can't be the coach in that town. And so I grew up, and I know a lot of people, maybe you know some of these people, that they seem to use phrases like, praise the Lord, oh praise, or hallelujah, hallelujah, or boy, if God wills, you know. And really, it's just part of our language. It's not necessarily sincere to say praise the Lord or hallelujah. It's just kind of, it can be a kind of a fake religiosity to impress other people, to make them think that we're very spiritual. Now, if you're sincere, by all means, say praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen, if the Lord wills, or by the grace of God, if you're sincere. But if you're only doing that to impress other people, that's not using God's name properly. That's using God's name as a benefit to yourself. That's another way that I thought of growing up. Another way that the Jews in the Old Testament, as well as us, is false prophecies. False prophecies is misusing the name of the Lord or taking his name in vain. By saying, thus saith the Lord. So if I ever stand up here and I ever say, thus saith the Lord, and I'm not reading scripture, you should fire me. Because I don't have that authority or certainty that what I would say is God speaking through me. Or we might even say, well, God told me You know, the Lord told me this, or the Lord said this, or God told me this. You know, those are things we need to be careful about. You know, we should probably say things more like, I ascertained that the Spirit was leading me that direction. Or I felt the Spirit was really leading me this way. But don't say, God told me. Unless you got it from the Scripture. So anyway, I think those are some ways that we could, with our mouths, take God's name lightly or in vain, whether in blessing or in cursing. But figuratively in our hearts. Figuratively, what about our hearts? Now, Jesus said in Matthew 15, 8 through 9, quoting Isaiah, he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me. So Jesus says that we are worshiping him in vain, worshiping God the Father in vain, if we, even though we might say all the right words, Lord, Lord, Matthew 7:21, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Plenty of people can say the right words, but what about our hearts? It's not just our mouths, but what about our hearts? Remember the big idea. God commands that those who claim Him as their God live in a way that reflects His attributes, taking His name in vain. Are you a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? Like the word, I mean, like itself, like I am a Christian, right? What we are really saying is that I bear the name of Christ. I have taken the name of Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus, and therefore you can identify me with Christ. I follow him. His name is on me. It's a dangerous thing to call ourselves Christians. Because in doing so, we are asking for people to think of Christ in what they see in us. Like you see this word Christ, not a Pepsi symbol, but you see the word Christian. And people say, oh, that's, I identified Christ with him or her. So in our hearts, when we take on the name of Christ, how you doing, buddy? When we take on the name of Christ, we are saying the qualities of Jesus are on me. That's a pretty yellow chair. You found the only one in the room. We take Christ lightly. When we take Christ lightly, we can take our commitment to Christ lightly in our hearts, and taking the name of Christ in vain. You see, taking his name in vain doesn't just mean that we're using his name by saying OMG, but taking his name on me in vain means that I can say with my mouth I belong to Christ, but yet my life does not reflect his attributes. That's scary, isn't it? Well, why is this important? Why is it important? Verse number 7 is our focal verse. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So, this means that God will punish those who take his name in vain. That's pretty scary, isn't it? Now we need to make sure we understand what this means. As I thought about this, I thought, how many times in my life have I taken the name of the Lord in vain? Whether that's with my mouth or in my heart? Well, surely, many times, right? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us in this room have taken the name of the Lord in vain. All of us have. We've all broken the third commandment. And so, he says here, the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So we're all have broken this command, and so we're all guilty before God. That's not really good news, is it? We're not a Christian. We'll stand before God someday and give an account at the judgment. Give an account for not revering and respecting God and taking his name in vain. That's not good news. But there is good news. I want to make sure we understand that it's not about us following the law. And so you're not saved just because you've kept all the Ten Commandments. Because I hate to tell you, you haven't kept the Ten Commandments. None of us have. That's why we need a Savior. There is good news. A way to be forgiven. I was dissecting, looking through the Bible and trying to find the gospel, how to communicate the gospel through this. And Romans 15:3. I looked up Romans 15:3 and I noticed, said this, "For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me." Christ did not come to please himself, but the reproaches of all of us who have reproached God the Father were placed on Christ. They fell onto him, and he died for our sins so that we can be forgiven. That's what's really important if we don't know Jesus. We've all broken the law. What hope is there? The hope is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. So we don't need to look at the third commandment and feel condemnation. We look at it and say, yeah, I've broken that, and that's why I need a Savior. But now as Christians, we're forgiven. We're not under condemnation. Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? We bear the name of Christ now. Christ's name is on us. We are to... Now, read the commandment, though, and feel a soberness to want to honor the one who loved us and died for us. And say, Lord, I don't want to take your name in vain. I don't want to give Jesus 50%. So in some ways, I feel like we can take his name in vain by just saying, I bear the name of Christ, but I'm just going to give some of my life. I'm not really going to live for him. I'm going to live for him to the point that it's comfortable for me. We want to honor him as we bear his name. If we don't honor the name of Christ, if we're living a life of open sin, even though we are born again, the Scriptures tell us he will discipline us. He disciplines those he loves. He will discipline us so that his name will be held in honor. God commands that those who claim him as their God live in a way that reflects his attributes. Can we just bow our heads for a moment and pray? It's not an easy text for me to try to preach on. Just ask you to examine yourself, some of the questions that I've asked myself. Is this, number one, is there any way that I misuse the Lord's name with my mouth? Is there any way that I misuse the Lord's name with my mouth? Just ask yourself that. Number two, is there any way in my life that I am profaning his name with my actions? Is there any way in my life that I am actually profaning his name with my actions? Where people know, oh, they claim to be a Christian, but actually with our actions, we're giving testimony that that's not true. And then lastly, maybe we ask ourselves this question, Lord, how can I honor and lift up your name more? How can I honor you more? How can I lift up your name more to make you look great and your name to be honored? You remember the Beatitudes. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to honor you. Lord, I'm aware that there are probably countless ways that I dishonor you with my mouth and in my heart that I am not even aware of. Maybe ways that things I've been doing for so long that I don't even realize it's sin anymore. So I pray, Lord, you'll help us. Show us, Lord, ways that maybe we take you in vain, we take your name in vain, bear the name of Christ in vain. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't just negatively not sin against you this way, but I pray that you would positively help us to proclaim your name. We pray in the name of Jesus, the only name by which you hear us, Father. Amen.